Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. Come on in. Come on in. How is everybody doing today? I'm not, you know what? I was gonna promise no tears today. Girl, I ain't gonna promise no tears, but maybe not. Maybe not today. thank you to everybody that reached out, emailed, and whatnot. I appreciate y'all sending me all of your love, and it was much appreciated. The funeral was Saturday, and it was lovely, and all my family was here and all that kind of stuff. Well, thank you. I'm trying a middle part too. Let me know what you think. Middle part, not so much. I like it. I think I'm gonna keep it. I don't know. I'm trying something new. Trying something a little bit different. Okay. Now, I don't always teach at these things, but I'm just going to tell you. So if you're new here in your first 30 days, you're going through the No BS Weight Loss course. But everybody else, we're doing the START program for the first 2 months, January, February. We're going to be doing that. Okay. Now, last week and this week was about finding enough. Finding enough and honoring enough. So last week was about finding enough. This week was about honoring enough. So a lot of you know that I sold a program at the beginning of the year. You got 8 weeks to go through with me, the START program. Last week and this week were so good. I'm going to give you some of my extra notes that I have been working through with the people that sign up to do Start with me because it's just so good. You know, like we always say, like, whether you pay for a program or not, like, we're never going to gatekeep. Like, if something is really good and it is really spoken to me, and I want all of us to understand about enough and to work on finding enough. So, I'm going to give you a couple of my notes from the last couple of weeks with Start that we've been doing. If you've not done it, please give yourself a chance to go over to this month at No BS, and look at it, because this 8 weeks is so good. This, you know, we're like 6 weeks in, I guess now, but so good, so good, so good, so good. So I'm gonna go through my takeaways from these last 2 weeks, because they're just every week I get on with my START people and I'm like, this is my favorite week. And then this week I go, this is my favorite week. Then I was like, guess what? I'm probably gonna say next week. This is my favorite week. Because y'all, I might be the head coach of No BS and I might whatever, but I'm a No BS woman from the beginning, right? Like, that's how I found it. I signed up for No BS because I loved Corinne. I loved what she said. I knew that I was going to learn from her for the rest of my life. And that is what I still do to this day. So there you go. So last week was about finding enough. What is enough? So this is what I took away. This was my biggest takeaway from last week. The first thing you have to do is trust yourself that you've actually found enough. I'm willing to say we're here. We have arrived at our destination. I trust myself enough to say, this is it. But here's the part that I think we need to take a little bit further. And it goes back to the idea of being a well-fed woman. I trust myself enough to feed myself when I'm hungry again. So I do trust myself to stop, but without the trust on the other side, that I'm not going to ignore you, that I am going to listen to you, that I will pay attention to you, that I will feed you. It is way more difficult to stop without the trust on the other side. That's this idea of being a well-fed woman is not about, it's about I'm going to honor you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm done ignoring you. I am going to pay attention to you now. I am no longer going to shut you down and tell you to be quiet and sit in a corner. So Corinne talked about last week, trusting yourself that this is enough. But I think we've got to take it another step and say, I trust myself to feed myself. I trust myself to honor when I'm hungry too. And that makes stopping at enough a lot easier. A whole lot easier. And then she talked last week a lot about it's not the food that's being taken away. We've got to start to identify that it is our coping skill. It is our emotional feeling that the food is giving us that's being snatched away from us, that we're taking away from us. And when we start to acknowledge the feeling, what we really want in the moment, stopping at enough becomes so much easier. And then she talked about the difference between physical enough and emotional enough. And y'all, that is so different. Physical enough is my body is telling me I've had enough. I've got all the fuel I need to get me another 4 or 5 hours. I'm good. You don't need to give me any more. I'm good. But emotional enough, you know that you've not had emotionally enough when you hear yourself negotiating with yourself. When you're eating to feel connected or comfort, or you're just trying to quiet the noise in your head. Okay. So that was, and then last week she challenged us to say, does this feel like enough in my body? Do I feel like I've had enough? And then I thought that was good. And then I listened to this week's lesson because it just keeps getting better all the time, right? Every time. So this week was about stopping when you don't want to stop. Which was so good. The first thing is you've got to recognize why you don't want to stop it enough, which she kind of touched on last week, but this is the only time I've let myself sit down all day. This is the only time I've had a rest all day. This is the only time, the only thing in my day that doesn't feel like work. So it's so hard for me to stop it enough because the one time I give myself and my brain a chance to shut down and just sit. Okay. The other thing is it feels like you're losing something important. It feels like something is being taken away from you when you stop it enough. And it's not just eat less. If it was just eat less, y'all, we would have been at our goal weight long time ago. And that's why it never worked in the past, which I love the freedom of knowing it was never me. That's what I love. It was never me. They did not teach me what to do when shit hit the fan. They did not teach me what to do when I ran out of points and I was hungry. They didn't teach me what to do when my husband was a jackass. They didn't teach me what to do when I was exhausted. They didn't teach me what to do when life was lifing. And that's what this is all about. So that's why just eat less was never enough. And this was my favorite line. The whole thing is my favorite line in this week's lesson, all the way. And I wrote it down. Honoring enough is an emotional skill. It's a skill. It's not a math problem to solve. It's not a cup of food or, 50 grams of protein or this macro or that macro. It is not a mathematical problem to solve. It is an emotional skill to develop. You hear that, y'all? It is a skill you have to develop. You don't have it now. And when you think about developing a skill, it makes me feel more patient, right? It's a skill. I have to develop it. I'm going to get a little bit better. The more I practice it, the better I'm going to get at it. So that makes me feel less pressure of like, I'm doing it wrong. Of course, I'm going to do it wrong. I'm developing a skill. I'm not supposed to know how to do it perfect right off the bat. That's not what an emo that's not what a when you develop a skill, you don't always get it right. You get it wrong sometimes. You figure it out. You try different things. It's never been a math problem to solve. And we treat it like a math problem so often. Like, once I find enough, I found it, and that's the thing. No, it's an emotional skill. Maybe you found enough on good days. Maybe you can stop it enough when the world is your oyster. But what about on days you got to develop the emotional skill to stop at enough when the whole world feels like it's going to hell in a handbasket? When your parents in the hospital, or when you've got a deadline to meet at work, you have to keep strengthening that enough muscle by giving yourself what else you need, which I love. It's not about forcing yourself to stop. in the moment. You're trying to listen to what you really need and understand and talk to the part of yourself that wants to keep eating. We've got to be willing to have a conversation with ourselves. We have to. What do you really need? Because I'm going to just tell you, if you're like me, I have ignored myself for so long. And all we ever want in this world is to be heard. And it starts with us. We have to hear ourselves. What do you really need right now? Let me help you. Let me help you. Okay, so what she challenged us to do this week was so good. And I think it is so important. Halfway through your meal, you're going to pause for 1 to 2 minutes. Just pause. You're going to notice what's going on in your body. What does your stomach feel like? What does your throat feel like? What does your mouth feel like? Maybe even like, what does your pants still feel like? What do they feel different than they did when you started? How do they feel? That is so important. You're going to notice what is going on inside of your body. And we're not talking about thoughts yet. We're just talking about physically. I'm going to notice what's going on. And then you narrate your thoughts. I'm thinking this tastes so good. I'm thinking this is my only joy for the day. I'm thinking I deserve this. I'm thinking instead of this tastes so good, it's so unfair that I have to stop. I wish I wasn't at enough. I'm thinking these things. You want to start catching them to separate out that they're not actually facts. They're just thoughts that you have, which make them feel a little bit less urgent. Turns on that questioning, that lab coat of questions. And then once you uncover those thoughts, these are just thoughts I'm thinking, and they feel really true right now. They just feel really true to me, but they're really just thoughts. And then you give yourself permission. Right now, I have permission to stop, or I can keep going. Either one. I can do either one I want right now. Nobody's forcing me to do anything. And sometimes, if it's too big of an emotion or it's an emotion you haven't practiced, maybe you do decide to eat a few more bites. But it's from a place, it's not from a place of fuck it. It's not from a place of I screwed up. It's not from a place of I can't figure this out. It's from a place of permission because you listened to yourself and you made a decision, which is so different than the other ways we overeat. We just need to be aware and listen, finally listen to what we need. Okay, that's it. There you go. There's my takeaways from these last 2 weeks, and I hope it was helpful because I'm gonna just tell you something. It's fire. If we can figure out what we need instead of food, y'all understand and give it. No, that's a lie. If we can figure out what we need instead of food and give it to ourselves, right? If we can give it to ourselves instead of the food, weight problem is licked. It's never been a math problem. It's just a skill we need to develop. Fill the hole that food is filling. Right. You've just been putting food in there. Now I've got to put something else in there. And I love this idea of loving ourselves. I love this idea of listening to ourselves because I'm going to just tell y'all that's a skill that most women never learned. Never learned. I know Pam Kirk said, I always say people on a GLP-1, your emotional eating is gonna shine a spotlight on the emotions. Because the physical hunger is kind of taken care of from the GLP-1, but all those thoughts are still right there. You deserve it. It's not fair. You don't get to eat as much as everybody else. All that comes up. I love it, love it, love it. Yes. All right. Now, I know, right? I mean, it is amazing. I have a friend right now that's on it. And she was like, I ain't never felt so bad in my life. Like, I feel terrible. It's like all it does is just amplify the thoughts, right? That she's always had around food. So she's never been a journaler. She's never done that. She started writing it down. She was like, I feel so much better now, but I never even could hear the thoughts because they were so loud. They felt like to my friend. And Chrissy just said, so true, emotional hunger starts to speak up loudly. Yes. It's like such a gift. Yep. All right. Make sure you're asking your questions. I only have one question, which is lovely. All right, now I need my water. And I think I'm getting a sinus infection. Roxanne. Roxanne. You know I had to do that. I had surgery in mid-January. I might be having complications because I'm in a lot of pain. Girl. Same. I contacted my doctor and waiting for a response. I'm eating more as a distraction. I'll work on pain meds with the doctor when he gets in touch. How do I not undo my hard work while navigating this issue? I'm also kind of scared about this development. Well, speaking of someone who had shoulder surgery in October of not last, but the year before, and then ended up having complications and have another shoulder surgery in March, I can speak to this. Here's the thing. Ask yourself when you get to enough and you know that you're overeating, what are you actually feeling? Listen for those thoughts. You're probably scared, right? You didn't expect a complication. That's normal. That's normal right now. Of course, I feel scared. I don't know what's going on. Can I just feel scared right now? Because that's what's going on for me. And that's okay. It's a normal reaction to have. I feel unsure. I know I love certainty. I don't have that right now. I don't have that right now. What I really need is to be in the best shape possible in case I have to have another operation. Can I give that to myself right now? I have permission to eat. I can keep going, or I can stop and give yourself that option. Because what happens a lot of times is, what's wrong with you? That's not going to help. You're just going to shoot yourself in the foot. This is ridiculous. Why can't you just get over it? No. What you're asking for right now is a little bit of certainty and a little bit of compassion. That's probably what you need right now. How can you give yourself that? How can you love yourself and honor what you really need? Which is a little bit of compassion and a little bit of love. Pam says, I just started Mounjaro this week. It has definitely curbed hunger, but I feel so bloated most of the day. What can I do to help that? I'm thankful to not be nauseous, but the bloating is really uncomfortable. Let me see. Christy, you know, Christy knows what to do for bloating. I am not on a GLP-1. I do know that from what I've read and what I understand is that the side effects that you have do get better once you've been on them for a while. But I'm not 100%. Are you drinking enough water, Pam? Make sure you're getting your water in. That is true. Move, water, and fiber really help. So try that and see if that helps. Oh, Mary says it'll pass. She takes fiber supplement and probiotic and water, water, water. Carbohydrates are metabolizing more slowly, so they can cause a bit of bloating. Look at that. I knew she would have the answer. And add fiber slowly. Darlene, that is true. And if you increase your fiber, please increase your water. Please, please, please. Because that is no bueno. If you drink, if you eat a lot of fiber and you don't increase your water, that is not a good combo. Not a good combo. Yep, fiber is your friend, but water is too, for real. For real, for real. I realized a couple of days ago that my resistance to exercise and not eating so much was feeling like they were telling me what to do. Mostly was not thinking enough like I am. I need assistance to reframe my thinking. So here you go. I want you to write down, Becky, why it's so important to you. Why is it important to you? It's important to your trainer for you to exercise. I mean, I'm sure, but why is it important to you? I mean, you want to eat less to lose weight, but why is that so important? It's that creating of the whys that is so important. You want to make sure that you're, why is it important to me? And you've got to intentionally work on that. Intentionally work on that. I think it was, oh gosh. Okay, it was a GLP-1 call from this past week. Liz Rivera was the first person to be coached. Corinne coached her. And it was so good. And if you're not on a GLP-1, y'all are sleeping on those calls because I'm just going to tell you, it's so good. So Liz was getting coached on her resistance to planning and do our discovery worksheets. She didn't want to do those things. And Corinne was talking about it's, she's afraid of what thoughts will come up in those moments. Please go listen to it. Like if I had to like create, curate a recommended listening list for this week, it would be the start this week. It would be the first coaching from the GLP-1 on Sunday, I guess it was. And then the first 15 minutes about planning that Corinne did on the regular call. Like if you don't listen to nothing else, like it was so good. That's all you got time for. Like that's what I would be listening to. It wasn't the plan or the planning she was going to. Yes. So what happens is all the thoughts and opinions you have about yourself, the reason you don't want to do some of these things is because you're afraid of the thoughts you're going to have about yourself. And a lot of those opinions and thoughts are created when you're younger. And so Corinne was talking about how to intentionally sit down with yourself and figure out what is true about you now, which is so good. But the thing is, like, you're probably used to people telling you what to do. So when you're resistant to planning and all that other kind of stuff, you know, the coaches are telling you to plan and all this other stuff where like somebody's telling you to exercise and whatnot. And then it feels like it's external. It's time to bring it internal and say, this is why it matters to me. This is why I'm going to do this for me, for myself, no matter what they say. Let's see. Let's see. Susie, I have come to the conclusion that I plan for foods that I think are healthy and what I should, yeah, be eating. I know that's diet mentality. What can I do to lift that curse off? It's not a curse. It's your habit. It's what you've always done. So I just want you to gently, if there are foods that you really want to include, I had a somebody email me yesterday and she was talking about, she was like eating a shake for breakfast and she had been doing oh shoot, what is that one? I don't remember what it's called, some diet that you just Optivia or whatever. And she had been like for years and she'd been drinking this shake and she really likes it though. And then my question back to her was, look at the way you're eating. What do you really want to keep? Because some people love a shake for breakfast. They're like, this is my jam. I don't want to eat an egg. First of all, I don't have time to eat an egg. So you first want to look at what you're eating that you're telling yourself you should, but what are the things that you want to keep? Because I mean, there are healthy foods I want to include healthy, better and best foods that I love. They taste amazing. They give me energy. I don't want to level those down to good foods, or I don't want to start including good foods to exclude those foods because I love them so much. So the first thing you want to find out is when you're talking about your food is what are the rules around good and better and best foods that you want to keep? What are the habits that you want to keep? Having a shake for breakfast isn't bad if the story around it is good. So if you're like, well, I have to have a shake. Can't eat like everybody else. Sucks. Wish I could. But girl, if I ate breakfast, if I ate eggs and toast, I can't control myself. It's terrible. Or it could be, I love having a shake. The best thing ever. Saves me time, gives me energy, lasts till lunch, love the way it tastes, then you might want to hang on to it. It's not coming from a place of diet mentality. It's coming from a place of, I've listened to my body and this is what's best for me. So you first want to examine, what do you want to keep? What do you want to keep? Because some of those foods you're going to want to include. You're going to want to keep them. Okay. So that's number one. Let's see. I'll try to watch my mouth, Jackie. let's see. And then, what can you do to lift that curse off of me? So then ask yourself, what are the things I want to plan? Just like she was talking to Liz about on the GLP-1 call, you're going to want to plan them. And you're going to want all those thoughts to come up so you can hear what you're saying to yourself about those good foods you're planning. Like fried chicken. I'll just use fried chicken as an example. So, fried chicken, I shouldn't eat that. I'll never be able to lose weight and have that. When you want to bring up those thoughts so you know what they are, so you bring them to the forefront so you can address them. The problem was never the fried chicken. I just never let myself have it, and then I would overeat it. Wonder how it's going to look different now that I'm giving myself permission to have it. I bet it's going to look different. The only reason I've ever told myself that was like, where did I hear that? Like, my mom said fried chicken was bad for you. Oh, well, she always overate it too. We always overate it together. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it wasn't the fried chicken. It gives you the opportunity to have the conversation. We want those thoughts to come up. We want to be able, that's what you take to ask coaches. That's what you take to Facebook. That's what you email me with. Are all those thoughts that you're having, the ones that when you finally give yourself permit, I'm willing to plan it and see what comes up. See what thoughts come up for me. And then I'm able to work through them because they're already there. Whether you, it's just like the scale. If you weigh 222 pounds, whether you stand on a scale and know that you weigh 222 pounds or you don't, you still weigh 222 pounds. Whether you plan the foods and allow yourself to hear the thoughts or not, you're still having the thoughts. But when you bring the thoughts out, when you do the thing and you write the plan or you plan the fried chicken, you get to hear the thoughts, which is amazing because then we can help you with them. That's what we want. We want to bring it up. We want to hear what they are. And then we can help you with them. Let's see. I'm preaching today. I don't know what has happened to me. I don't know what happened. What happened? But here I am. Kelly, I was taking Ozempic for weight loss. And my insurance no longer covers it. I have a few more doses at 0.25 instead of one. I am at maintenance. Please give me some encouragement that I know what I know from no BS, that if I continue to do what I know, I will not gain my weight back. There's your mantra right there. You got the thought. You don't need me, Kelly. I'm gonna add one thing to it. And if I start to struggle, I always have help. I always have help. One thing I would add, Kelly, if you're not planning or you're not using the habit tracker, please start doing that. So the minute if the scale does start to go up, you just email it to me and we can get to business. We can get down to business and I can help you. But I also want you to watch your thoughts, okay? I'm going off of Ozempic. Listen to what you're telling yourself. Notice the thoughts. It's gonna be, might be harder. I bet my weight's gonna come back. Like, look out for those. Question them. Give yourself something else. Give yourself this mantra you just came up with. I know what I know from no BS. If I continue to do what I know, I will not gain my weight back. And if I do, I know where to go. I'm not by myself. Not, I'm never alone in no BS. Somebody's going to help me figure it out. It's the only thing I would add to that, Kelly. That's it. You've got everything you need right there. Except the help piece, which, that's good. Let's see. Geraldine says, can you revisit what to do differently in the moment? I'm eating and notice I'm thinking just a few bites don't matter. I notice the thoughts, but don't have a thing to do differently. I notice I'm thinking, and it feels really true. Feels true. But it's not. What is true? It's that back and forth conversation. Every bite matters. I notice I keep saying that. Every time I come to the end with just a couple bites left, these all add up. Be willing to tell yourself the other side of the story. Be willing to tell yourself the other side of the story. Let's see. You mentioned feelings about eating so little food. I eat about one third of a yogurt with granola for breakfast, a half a sandwich or wrap, or a small serving of leftovers for lunch. I get hungry 3 hours later. Sometimes I have a snack after work. If not, I'm really hungry at supper. I would add a little snack. Pack a little something that would be really easy to eat if you get hungry. Usually supper feels like a decent serving, yet this is when I eat past enough. It's because you're going in hungry. Okay. Or I feel like it was past enough about 15 or 20 minutes later. Yet I want dessert around 8 to 9. What is a good strategy to work through this? First of all, you want to go ahead and give yourself a snack because when you go in hungry, Corinne even talked about it last week in that video, which was so good from last week. But when you are starving, your body starts to freak out. Like, oh my God, she's not feeding me again. We've been on all these diets before. I know what's about to happen. I better go ahead and get it all. And it feels really urgent. Then you eat quicker. Okay. So you do want to try to give yourself a snack. If you can't give yourself a snack early, before you start to eat, use a bites timer, serve yourself half, somehow set yourself up for success, but also just take a minute and breathe. I just wasn't able to eat. I don't need extra food. This was a one-time thing and I'm okay. I'm safe. Everything is fine. I don't have to eat too much. And then the other thing you can do is if you really want a dessert, I mean, first of all, why do you want a dessert? We got to go through those thoughts. Okay. You go back to the hunger thing, why you're eating when you're not hungry. It could be you're looking for connection. It could be that you're looking for your period at the end of the day. Like, this is when I know my day is complete. What, maybe your husband or your partner or your girlfriend eats the snack. Maybe it's a habit. I don't know. Whatever it is, figure out what you're wanting in the moment. And if you really do want something sweet, eat a little bit less dinner so that you're hungry for it. Try that and see. Let's see. Is anywhere in No BS more information or help for women with ADHD or autism? No, there is not. However, you can work with the coaches and ask coaches to try to help you come up with a strategy that works for you. Okay. And then all it is those thoughts. Like for Claudia, you might need us to help you come up with better strategies if you have ADHD. Around, how to place your planner, how to get the thoughts and stuff out of your planner and into your life, how to insert reminders to remind you of what you're wanting to do, what you're trying to remember to do. So a lot of that will it'll come down to a lot of that. Like we can help you come up with all that. Somebody, Elizabeth said, what is everyone doing for comfort instead of eating chocolate? So what are the thoughts you're having, Elizabeth, around the chocolate? Like it just feels so good. Start to ident I keep thinking that it's the chocolate, but right now I'm looking for comfort. I'm not looking for chocolate. I keep thinking that chocolate is the answer. What else could I give myself right now? Like I literally keep wrapped up in this warming blanket. Some people have like a fuzzy sweatshirt that they like to put on. And then the other thing too is remember, I could never tell myself no or this is forever. Like I had more rebel in me than I knew. So you want to try something on for size just for tonight? Can I try a warm and blanket just tonight? See how I feel. If I want to eat, I will. Or it's that again, pause plus permission. I'm willing to try this warm blanket now and see how I feel in 20 minutes. If I still want to eat, I have permission to eat. I'm gonna see how I feel right now. Pam, it's called the Fuck It Foods worksheet. If you're past your first 30 days, it's under resources and helpful worksheets. Yeah, that's it. Oh, ask your kids or your hubby for a hug. Mary said, is eating chocolate daily a problem if you're feeling okay and losing? Nope. I ate a few pieces of dark chocolate pretty much my whole weight loss. And then it's so funny whenever you have permission to have it for so long. Like we just literally, we always go to Trader Joe's and we'd buy that dark chocolate, like with hazelnut in it or whatever. And we had the cabinet that we keep it in. And about 2 months ago, we had to throw it out because it had been in there so long. But it's just funny that and I literally ate it every day for a couple years. And then once you have permission, like it is literally not special. It's just not special after 2 years. When you're like, oh, I finally get to have this. It's so funny, like how it doesn't feel so special when you slap the sexy off of it. When you slap the sexy off of it. Oh yeah. Oh, Darlene. Yeah, that's right. Slap the sexy off. I heard you say it was your anniversary. Happy anniversary, Darlene. My anniversary was last week. We didn't do anything. 47 years. Yep, yeah, that was our 31st wedding anniversary last week. There's that. 31 years with that hoodlum. Sure was. Any other questions? Are we gonna get out of here early? Y'all ain't got no questions? Just together 47, almost 48. Oh my gosh. I know he is a hoodlum. 35th is on Monday. I wish I could come out to Vegas and celebrate with you, Paula. Yeah, 31 years. How did we meet? Such a great question. I'd love to tell you. My husband is 15 years older than me, and he owned a gas station. And my best friend in high school was 15. We were 15, so that means he was 30. And I used to ask him, we used to try to set him up with my friend's mom. Miss Kathy. We used to try to set my husband up with Miss Kathy. Now, Kathy would have been a little bit older than him, but we kept telling him how amazing older women were. And so then I went away to college. I finished high school. He knows every high school boyfriend I ever had because we used to bring him in the store. So he knows every boyfriend I had through high school. And then when I was 18, I came back to Rock Hill after I went away. I had a good year that first year of college. Girl, it was so much fun. I flunked out about it. And, then when I was 19, he asked me out on my first date with him. And I went, so he was 34, and he lied and told me he was 32. I mean, how did that make it better? I have no idea. And then we got married when I was 20. There's that. Yeah, hello to Mike, Mr. MJ. Let's see. Those 2 years made a difference. I know. And my mama, the first time we met, she met him, she was like, give me your license. And he was like, oh, then he got busted. But here's the funny thing. I had my first child, and my friend from high school and I had just not seen each other in a long time. And I had Layla, my oldest, in a buggy at the grocery store. And Hope, my friend from high school, said, oh, this is what my sister would have looked like. I was like, yes, it is. Here's that. Everyone I ask a question, it never seems to show up. I see it over here, Roxanne, in the Q&A. So I'm watching the Q&A. I'm sort of looking at the chat a little bit, but not a ton. But yeah, I see it over here on me. Mary says, I have been organizing my office and came across weight journals and docs notes of my weights. I found myself saying negative thoughts about you. You have yo-yoed over 200 3 years now. Maybe you should do GLP-1, but those thoughts went away. Should I do a disco sheet? You can if you want to. You can, but how did you get out of them? Like, if you look at them again, like, what are you going to tell yourself the next time? Oh, Anonymous says, what advice do you have for a member who has been in the program for almost 2 years and hasn't lost any weight? One thing you can try, if you literally have been here for 2 years and not lost weight, my question is, how often have you used Ask Coaches and how often have you used me? Because I will help you 100%. That's why I'm here. I'm here to help you lose weight. If y'all aren't losing weight, email me. Email me. It is my job. This is not a you problem, Anonymous. I say this all the time. If you're not losing weight, that's my problem, not your problem. You need to let me do my job and help you figure out how to lose weight. Email me. The other thing is, y'all, if you're really not losing weight or you're stuck and financially you can do private coaching, sometimes working with a private coach is seriously a jump start. Just somebody you can talk to every single day, a coach who knows you backwards and forwards. If you can do that, please sign up. You know, it's a 3 month commitment, and then after that, you can come back anytime, like for I call them a tune up for a month at a time. And then you can also sign up for a private coaching, like a session, like a is it right for me kind of session. You can find it on the website under coaching, private coaching. Really give it a try if you can. But email me. Yeah, Geraldine said she for 4 months lost 5 pounds after 30 years of struggling. I love that. Lizzie's got two openings last night. Betsy's got openings right now. And I think Lisa has one or two openings right now. Yeah. So I can get you back. I can get you in by next week to with a private coach. But if that is not in the budget for you, you still have help. You got me and you got the coaches. You've got to be willing to say, I do get these emails. I tell you all the time, email me and just say, I'm not losing weight. I need help, or I need help. I know where to take you from there. I don't need you to have a perfectly crafted email. I don't need you to know what's wrong. I just need you to say, MJ, help me. And I will write you back. And I will help you. I know what to ask. I know what to say. That's my job. I don't need you to have it perfect. I don't need you to be like, here's my problem and I need you to help me fix it. I don't need you to know what your problem is. That's on me. I figure out what your problem is. And then we work on it together. Okay? That's how this works. Alyssa, if you cannot do private coaching, you have got Facebook, you've got me, and you've got the coaches in Ask Coaches. It's not, it only two was it's about 2.5, 2.5, 3% of the membership does private coaching. That's it. Everybody else just uses the resources inside the membership. Annette, I listened to her sniffling for months through your mom's passing. So there's that. You not sniffing. What advice do you have for a member who has been, oh no, I already read that. Liz, sorry. Any tips for urges to eat snacks, usually crisp and chocolate, when I wake up around 2 a.m. in the night? I've done it for years now. Part of that, Liz, is a habit. The other thing is, you're probably thinking, I can't get back to sleep without this. Your brain has associated the crisps. You must not be from the US, Liz. You know, I love to all of our international friends. And so now you probably have a lot of thoughts around it. You know, I can't get back to sleep without it. I need it to get back to sleep. It's going to be so hard if I don't have it. Corinne used to say this. So Corinne used to say this. Are you willing to feel like ass for a little bit to disconnect that? Because that may be what it takes. I'm willing to lay here tonight, just for tonight. Right? Just for tonight, see how long it takes me to go back to sleep. I know it's not going to feel great, and I'm going to want to get up. And then here are the thoughts while you're laying there. It's impossible. It's impossible to go back to sleep without eating. That's probably not true, because I know a lot of people that don't get up in the middle of the night and go eat. And they get up and they're able to go back to sleep. So maybe I can learn how to do that too. Start to have that compassion for yourself. It's a habit, which you've done for a long time. So when you're wanting to change the habit, it is going to feel a little bit weird and a little bit uncomfortable. It's not going to always feel great. Changing your habits doesn't always feel amazing. I was on the start with somebody earlier, and she was like, she had a terrible day yesterday, and she kind of noticed like she was eating quickly, and she was like not wanting to stop, and like all these things, like all this stuff was kind of coming up for her. And then she said, but I slowed down, and I thought it was going to be so hard. And I was like, was it really hard? And she was like, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was. It was like uncomfortable. And I said, so often when we're starting to feel our feelings, well, like we're finally allowing ourselves to feel feelings, we only have two buckets for feelings to fit in: elation and crap. The only two buckets. Like, you know, it either like, and when we feel discomfort, we're like, well, that doesn't go in the elation bucket. It's got to go in the crap bucket. So we only identify feelings as feeling amazing or feeling like crap. But there are a lot of feelings right in the middle. And a lot of times, like when we're talking about just for tonight, can I see if a warm blanket will give me comfort? Just tonight, see how I feel. And we think it's going to feel terrible. It's gonna be, because we only have two buckets, elation and crap. There are a lot of like little bit uncomfortable buckets in the middle. Doesn't feel like elation. Doesn't feel like crap either. And we've got to be willing to expand the way that we talk about our feelings, because there is more than just two buckets. And we think a lot of times things are going to feel horrible because we only have the horrible bucket. We know it's not going to feel great, so we think it's got to go in the horrible bucket. What if it's not as bad as that? What if it doesn't feel as bad? Let's see. Yeah, Diane says Coach Kathy recommends the How We Feel app. Yes. And I have clients that use that. Let's see. I'm feeling all the feels. Daughter going off to college. Yep. We moved not long ago. My house isn't decorated, so feeling unsettled. Excuse me. Have to go to a biopsy for my right breast in a week or so. I'm scared and work is so busy. I just don't want to feel the feelings because I'm afraid of what will come up. How do I even feel safe to feel them? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Well, first of all, under resources, you'll see Kathy's nervous system resource page. And I want you to go over there. Christy, do you have the link to that? Go and look at that. And here's what I want you to do. I'm willing to start feeling, and if it feels like too much, I'm going to stop. It's not like Pandora's box. Once it's open, it's open. You can start to feel a little nervous and calm yourself. But if you ever don't feel safe, say, you know what? Putting that in a box. We'll look at that later. And we can do that. We have the ability to do that. But a lot of times we think like, once I open the door, it's like, oh, I can't close the door again. You can 100% close the door if it ever feels unsafe. If it ever feels unsafe, you can close the door. So, I just want to give you permission to crack the door open, and maybe it's not as hard. And we'll be praying for you about that biopsy. And let yourself know this does, it feels hard right now. There's a lot going on. It's a lot of uncertainty. Of course, I'm feeling scared. Like a lot of times, it's just like the, you know, like I know I'm feeling scared, and this is normal. I should be feeling scared. I'm having a biopsy. I should be feeling sad. My daughter is leaving to go to college. This is normal. This is how normal people feel. This is what it's supposed to feel like. This means I'm normal and I'm human. Yeah, the time before the biopsy is the hardest time of all. That is such a great thought, though. This is the hardest time of all. because I don't have answers. That's why it feels like this right now. But I know I've got a good team. I know I'll find the right doctors. I know how to advocate for myself. Like, what do you know? Let's see. My son and husband have their medical appointments next week, cardiology and oncology. I can sense the fear and anxiety rise in me. Yes, it's normal because I don't have a lot of answers right now. Yes. I'm normalizing them good and deciding ahead of time what I will do to soothe myself. The urges to eat are showing up for sure. Yes. I don't want to ignore my feelings this time and tough it through. Yes. I'm willing to feel this. It's not going to feel great, but it's normal. I love that. Corinne says, try not to worry if you don't have all the information. Yeah, the other good thing to worry is to remember, Jackie, is what she says is like 90% of the things we worry about never come true. Like we spend a lot of time on worry and those things never actually happen. But it's your brain because, you know, you think about like where we come from, like cavemen days, back in the days. Like we had to see if we're out there and a saber-toothed tiger is there, here's what I'm gonna do. And if we're out there and the sun is shining, here's what I'm gonna do. And if I'm hungry and I go outside and I see a peach across the field, here's what I'm gonna do. Our brain loves to problem solve for everything that might come up. But the truth of the matter is, there's not been one thing in our lives for any of us that we have not been able to figure out as of yet. Nothing. There's been nothing we haven't figured out. I bet I can figure this out too. One thing I always love, like one time I got stuck in New York. This is about being in the membership though. I got stuck in New York and my flight got canceled. My husband said, "What are you going to do?" I was like, "I'll just post in the Facebook group. They'll help me." He was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Somebody will come get me." He was like, "You literally go with somebody in this membership." I was like, 100% I would. And I always think like, if I ended up with a diagnosis or I needed something, first place I'd go is No BS Facebook group. It's private. You got nothing but love and support there. And pretty much any problem you've had, a No BS woman has already figured out ahead of you. First place I'd go. 100%. There's nothing this group of women can't fucking figure out. And that's the truth. Yeah, Nancy said, oh, that was a good one. Lizzie did a wonderful feelings exercise on her last coaching call. So just go over to coaching replays and scroll down and find the one with Lizzie. Wendy said, they helped me find my cat. There you go. I'm just telling y'all, anything that comes your way, any curveball that is thrown at you, run in that Facebook group, honey. They will figure it out for you. They have already figured it out. They're ahead of you. Oh, Kathy did put that Lizzie's call on the resource page. I'm so glad I have y'all. Yeah, Lizzie helped a lot of people with that call. Alyssa said she just found the Stopping Enough planner. That's good. Yeah, Kathy was good. That was when I was going through all that with my mama. It's all fuzzy. There's fuzz, fuzz, fuzz. It's all fuzzy. It's like that was like a couple of blur weeks for me. Maybe that's why I'm preaching. I feel like I've been in a fog for 2 weeks, and now I'm coming back out of it. I'm coming on the other side of it. So thankfully, yeah, it does take a while, does it not? It's not easy. Not easy. Any other questions? Any other questions? I mean, we got 6 minutes left. Any other questions? Ask me anything, which I want to know. Oh, thank you, Jackie. The funeral was lovely. The funeral was lovely. So it was good. It was good. And my whole family was here. You know, it's so nice when everybody. So my husband is not a good advocate for me. Never has been. So my daughter from California just wasn't going to come. She wasn't close to my grandma. To my mom, her grandma, and she just wasn't going to come. So I texted her and I was like, you know, I just don't want you to regret your decision. You know, I'd love to have you come. I'll pay for you to come, whatever. And so she called that night and said, I just want you to tell me what to do. And I said, you're 27 years old. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You have to decide what is right for you. And she was on speakerphone and my husband was beside me. And she said, just tell me, should I come or not? And my husband goes, yes, you're coming. Buy the ticket and I will pay for it. I was like, so much for teaching her a lesson. It's like, what? Where did I get my necklace? It's this company called Pavoy, Pavoi. It's cheap jewelry. And it's like, and it's two of them. I just stack them. Pavoy is the name of it. B said, thank you for always being open and sharing your life. Your wisdom. Girl, I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know any other way to do it. Yeah, sometimes we just don't want to make a decision. That's true. And when she was here, it was so, I think she's glad she came. And I think she's glad she came. If I email you, can it be a short novel? It can be a long novel, Marcy. There's no rules in email. Just like there's no crying in baseball. There's no rules in email. Yeah, no decision is a decision. That is exactly right. That is exactly right. Yeah, take a chance. Take a chance on me, Marcy. I mean, good Lord, if there's anybody to take a chance on, let it be me. I help you. We'll figure it out together. Yeah, but you know, talking about navigating, you know, adult kids, it's never easy. And I'm gonna tell you, you know, my mom had alienated a lot of people. And I got to the funeral. I had even Jen say, and my accountability partner flew from Seattle to come be here with me. Coach Judith was here with me and was so nice having them here. Like y'all have no idea how nice that was. And I kept telling Jen, you don't need to come. Nobody's gonna come for my mom. It was slap full. It was slap full. I was so, it was good. It was really good. That's where it came from, Jean. Adult kids stink sometimes. Yeah. Oh, God. Sophie, I was wondering how to ha handle oven fries. Oh, I don't even know what oven fries are. I noticed I only get those when I'm either down and eat them emotionally or when I haven't eaten them for too long and get super hungry. I thought I should make the decision not to buy them anymore. I feel tired and sluggish and usually overeat them. So I guess the part where they make me tired is not diet mentality. The overeating probably is. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, helping us, thinking of you and keeping you in my prayers. So it's the same thing, Sophie. I want you to think about this. You know, we talked about the story. That you tell yourself about like diet mentality and what foods you want to hang on to and all that other stuff. There are some times that you don't want to keep certain foods in your house. And there are two ways you can tell the story. I can't control myself. I always overeat them. I can't have them. If I have them, I'll overeat them. It's terrible. Or you can also say, I do want to include those foods in my life at some point, but right now I'm working on other stuff. When I'm ready to work on those foods, I'll start bringing them back in the house. But for right now, I got other stuff I want to work on. And I'm going to work on that first. I'm going to prioritize what's most important to work on. You see, there's two different, it's the same result. The food still isn't in your house. But one, you're the hero of the story. You're the boss. You're the one making the decision. And on the other side, it's the food that controls you. So there you go. Yeah, usually an impulse to buy. Like, look, I am working on impulse buying. That's going to help me with my bank account and my oven fry problem. When I am ready to buy them from a place of, I really want them, I feel empowered, I feel amazing, I'll buy them. But for now, I'm not working on that. Elena said, I don't regret not going to a close relative's recent funeral. It helped so much not to be pressured by their daughter. I might have gone if she'd asked me to, but I was so grateful she immediately encouraged me not to make the trip. I love that. Isn't that great? Like when you have relatives that let you do you and be you, whatever. I love that. Yeah, and I did talk about my mom's passing last week on Wednesday's call. Well, I snotted and cried and all the things last week. So, all right. Y'all have a great rest of your week. Please do yourself a favor and go and watch The Start. Unless you're in your first 30 days, I want you to do the No BS Weight Loss course. But if you are not, please, please, please go listen to Start, especially the Hunger and Enough, like the 2 weeks before and then these past 2 weeks. It's so amazing. And also, like I said, if you're stuck, if you're not losing weight, you email me, but also consider private coaching. If you can, if you can. All right. I will talk to y'all later. Have a good rest of your day. Bye.